you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from John 10:10.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Reading from John chapter 10, verse 10.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, November 21st, 2025. Hi, this is Dave Fitch, Director of Development with Great News Media, and it's a privilege to fill in today for Mark. Joining me to facilitate our discussion on John 10:10 is Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church Springfield. Pastor Mark, we're honored to have you lead our discussion here every week. This week is a continuation of last week's discussion on John 10:10. We're just taking a little bit different look at it today. What is different about this week's message?
Over the next 5 weeks, I want to look at five very key points that if you don't have this in your life, then life to the full that Jesus offers you is going to be missing. And you're going to be stumbling around until you understand these five things that Scripture makes very clear to us that we should have. So last week, we talked about peace, because frankly, you cannot have life to the full if you're walking around filled with worry. If you don't have peace in your life, no matter how rich you are, no matter how many people around you like you, no matter how well things are going, if you're filled with an inner angst, there's no life to the full. That's no way to live. So this week, we're going to talk about something that goes hand in hand with that, and that is security. And there's a difference between peace and security. What I'd like for everybody listening to think about is two simple questions. If somebody came up to you and said, there's going to be a group of people here tonight, and I want you to do this, would you feel secure to do it, or would you feel insecure and not sure that you should be the person doing it? Let me ask the people in this room, what could you be asked to do for a group of people and you would feel comfortable doing it that maybe somebody else wouldn't feel comfortable doing?
Well, if somebody asked me to talk about my family or my life history, those would be things I would know off the top of my head. I'd be very comfortable and secure.
Christy, if somebody asked you to sing, would you be insecure or secure?
I'd be secure. Play the piano or sing or either, you know, musical endeavor.
Would everybody else feel secure if you were asked to sing?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. There's different levels of that security, right? What are you secure in? What are you doing? So if it's singing a song, somebody may feel very secure. But yeah, you want me to sing tonight? You want me to sing for your wedding? You want me to sing? Oh, glad to do it. Glad to help out.
Mine would be if you say, okay, I'm going to have a group of people over, and you're to prepare a meal for them. And have everybody over.
You're ready to go.
Ready to go.
Get the food. I'll get it ready, and I'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that would be a problem for me. You know, advising somebody on legal issues. I know Bill was around here someplace today. I think Bill would feel secure advising people on legal issues. I don't want to advise people on legal issues. I'd probably get them in trouble, may get myself in trouble to boot. But if you asked me today to do a wedding, I would be very secure in that. I performed hundreds and hundreds of weddings. I could almost do it by heart. But if you gave me the ingredients, put them all on a table, and said, make a cake. How many of you with just the ingredients could make a cake? Anybody in this room could do that?
Probably.
Yeah, yes. Some of you could.
A few of the ladies here could.
Yeah, 4-H, you know.
Maybe, but I don't want to find out.
That's right. Maybe somebody out there listening, I'm sure that might be a breeze for you. Some people get married and they think, this is no big deal. We love each other. This is going to work. And you can warn them, hey, we see some things here. We're a little cautious about some things here. And they actually think you're stepping on their love. Oh, you don't understand our love. You don't understand how great things are for us. I've never walked to an altar with a couple to get married that they felt insecure. Many of them should have felt insecure. Raising a child. A lot of people, no big deal. I can raise a child. I got this. You know, I know how my parents raised me. I'll raise my kid that way. And then they find out it's harder than that. It's tough. Some people, unfortunately, are like that about going to heaven. They think going to heaven is no big deal. And they're walking around with this sense of security. I don't need the church. I don't need the word. I don't need anything. I'm going to heaven. And sadly, they've got a false security. So you see, with peace, we know it. I either have it or I don't. With security, that's a little more tricky. A lack of peace is obvious. I don't have it. Security, I can think I'm secure, and I'm not. The people on the Titanic thought they were secure. They weren't. Years ago, I heard about a guy that had a little business up in, I think it was in Canada, and his business was at this big park, and he had a bungee cord business. And people would come and jump off of this thing with the bungee cord. You've probably seen that happen, and they bounce, and you know they have some sort of thrill. He did that every day. And every day, he would go out, and he would hook up the bungee cord, and he would take the first jump. He would go first. And one day, he jumped off and fell to his death. Mm. Now, he most likely never had a second thought. On the way down, he's thinking, so far, so good.
That's right.
Just like every day. But he had failed to hook the bungee cord up, and it cost him his life. So the question is how secure am I really? Can I really be secure? Do I really know the way to being secure? I talk about when I was a kid, when I was a young man, I moved out, and my mom always made spaghetti. I got her spaghetti recipe. You know, you put all the ingredients in, and you let it simmer for a while. It's got to sit there. It's got to all get blended together. And I'd done that three or four times and gotten the spin. I thought I was getting pretty good at it. And one day I got all those ingredients together, put it all together, but I was in a hurry. And so I thought, well, I'll just turn the heat up. Yeah, you're right. That's right. That's right. And I turned that heat up, and it got really boiling, and it got really going. And what I did end up doing is I ended up scorching it all. Ruined the whole batch. Why? Because the fundamental lesson that it has to be done slowly, I didn't understand it. So someone's living with their girlfriend and they think that's okay, or an abortion is okay, they're living any way they want to live is okay, and they think they're fine. They think they're secure, but they're not. So how can we avoid false security? How can we be secure? Well, first things I would just tell you is this. It has nothing to do with how I feel. I can feel secure and not be secure. I can think I know what the outcome is going to be, and it's not secure at all. That's the issue. That's the thing we're looking at.
You've made me think about three types of people there, Mark. Those who are certain in their security. Just for clarification, typically when we think of security, we think of physical security or electronic security. We're talking about spiritual or eternal security here. But you've made me think of three types of people. One is those who know that they are secure in their faith in God and their eternity. There are some who know they're not secure. They know because of their lifestyle and kind of person to say, oh, I know I'm going to hell. And then there's that danger situation, the third kind, who think they're secure, but they really aren't. That's the dangerous part.
That's very dangerous. You know, you talk about the person even who says, yeah, I'm going to hell. What they're really saying is one of a couple things. What they're really saying is, I don't believe there's a hell. Nobody who really understands what hell is can go to bed with peace at night saying, I'm going to hell.
Right.
Or they believe, at the last minute, I'll get my heart right with God. At the last minute, I'll cry out to him. Well, you're walking on very insecure ground because none of us know when the last minute's going to be. Mm-hmm. We don't know when that's going to take place. And here's what I would tell anybody listening that's playing with that game. I have never met an older Christian that looked at me and I'd say, when did you get saved? And they would say, I was 75 years old. I was 65 years old. I was 50 years old. I was 30 years old. That looked at me and said, I wish I'd have waited a little bit longer. Every person I've ever talked to that gives me that date will say to me, I wish I'd understand God more when I was younger. I wish I'd have given my heart to him when I was younger. I wish I'd have entered into a relationship with him when I was younger. And part of what drives a person to not give their heart to God is this idea of what they're going to have to give up. Mm-hmm. Oh, I won't be able to live with my girlfriend anymore. Oh, I won't be able to go get drunk with my buddies anymore. Oh, I won't be able to talk like this. They got something in mind that they don't want to give up. And I'll tell you, I remember that as a boy when I got saved and God started doing this his work in my life and straightening things out in my life, I thought, I am giving up stuff all the time. You know, is there going to be anything left? But it wasn't long until I discovered that what I gave up was for my good and life was better without it. And I wasn't losing anything. I was gaining things. I was losing self-harm. I was losing family harm. I was losing friend harm. I was losing health harm. I was losing all sorts of things that were bad for me to get what God had for me. And so even in that, the person is walking in some false security that they think, I don't want to give that up and I can live this way and then I'll get my heart right with God. Well, there's no security in that at all. Anybody else?
You know, all the things that you were saying there just struck home with me. For me, it just struck home with me that I wasted years of my life when I was young. When I was just a young 14-year-old, I remember becoming really good and manipulative with getting alcohol. I was beginning to think alcohol was almost the answer, but then I thought, no, I'll make sure I follow all the rules and the plans. I'll never become an actual alcoholic or any of that. But I remember being so manipulative that at the age of 14, people were giving me alcohol. I was getting it, you know, and I thought things were good. And then later on, the big crash that hit me when alcohol turned out not to be my friend, but it turned out to be my enemy. And now yes. I have 39 years plus clean and sober now.
Praise God.
There was a lot I had to learn through all of that, you know, not everything that glitters is gold. But, you know, so many things that you were saying there, Mark, struck home with me.
Yeah, let me just say this for everybody listening, because that's how the enemy works in our life. If I wanted to poison you, I wouldn't bring you a big bowl of worms with poison in it and say, eat up. Because you'd look at
that.
It and recognize
it. I'm not going to take that. What do you mean? What are you doing? You're insulting me.
That's right. What I'd do is I'd find your favorite meal, the thing that appealed to you, and you put poison in that. That's what the enemy does to us. He looks at what appeals to us, whether it's alcohol or pleasure or money or position, and he fills it with his poison. And he shoves it at us and says, eat up. And we eat up, and it destroys us. It hurts us. And then when you find, when I get rid of that, my life's better. The enemy's trying to deceive us all the time.
When we live in that false sense of security that you're talking about, when God wakes us up from that, it's probably not going to be a pleasant experience. We're going to go from a world of supposed security to being out in the cold, completely exposed. And at that point, you can either blame God, why could you do this to me, or recognize, I've been this exposed the entire time. What God has done is removed my blindness.
Yes.
And let me be aware of what my situation actually was all along.
Tim, that's really true. Most of us, the way we discover that it's not secure is when it crashes. You know, when things in our life crash and all of a sudden I look around and my kids who I thought were going to live for God aren't living for God. When I'm seeing that, when all of a sudden the things that should be God's plan aren't happening, and I realize where's my security at? So let me share. I don't want to run out of time. I want you to hear this. 1 Peter 1:3, His divine power, talking about God, has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sin. And so I would really encourage you to go back and read 2 Peter 1:3 and through about 5, and just analyze every one of those words. Everything in that verse is really important. So remember, to hold on to the promise, you've got to hold on to the condition of the promise equally as strong. Every promise has a condition. And you have to hold on to all of them. I must meet the condition. Jesus can be my Savior. He won't be my Savior unless he's also my Lord. That's the condition. I accept him as Lord and Savior. Many people will bow their knee when they stand before God and confess he is Lord. Not everyone will confess that he's Savior, because he wasn't their Savior. He didn't become their Lord until they saw him face to face. And then it's too late. I've got to take him as my Lord now for him to be my Savior then. So promises have conditions. I must meet the condition. The promises do what? They move me from living in my nature to living in the divine nature. I stop thinking the way I used to think. My values change. My order of my life, my disciplines change. My desires change. And the pathway to that is I see a promise of God, I see a condition that I live by, and I start living by it. So I see a promise of God for secure relationships, and I say, okay, if I want to be secure in this relationship, I cannot be dishonest anymore. I cannot be selfish anymore. I need to be in relationship with other people who are submitted to God. And so I begin to live the condition of the promise. Everything's shaky ground unless I do that. We walk in obedience to God's word, and no matter what things look like in a moment of time, we can be sure that the promises of God are secure. So you talk to the mom or the dad who raised their child to love and serve God, talked to them, did not live a hypocritical life in front of them, were consistent in their faith, consistent in their nature. And now their child has wandered from God, and they're worried, they're feeling insecure. But they lived righteously. They pointed them righteously. They lived in the wisdom of God's word. They're on secure ground. You take another one who wants their child to live for God, but they lived hypocritically. They lived falsely. They didn't live a life submitted to God at home. They were two different people at church and at home. They're on very shaky ground. They've got to do a lot of repenting, a lot of turning, a lot of coming back to that child and expressing sorrow over how they lived their life to try to rebuild solid life. And so whatever it is in our life, we've got to turn to God and walk in obedience to God. No matter what things look like in the moment, we trust God and we obey God every day. That's the pathway to security. Security is walking in obedience to God's word. I get the outcome that God has when I fulfill the condition of the promise. I participate in the divine nature. That's the only security there is. Everything else
and
is
Pastor,
false.
One of the things is that we have to, it's a daily surrender.
Mm.
Because of our nature as human beings, we tend to forget that it's every day, it's a surrender. And what I would suggest to people to do is, even before you get out of bed in the mornings, just surrender everything to the Lord and ask him to use you as a source of blessing to every person that he brings before you. And when you do that, you find that it's much easier for you to, you know, do life with him.
You know, I found that's really good, because I found in my life that as I gave my life to Christ and I wanted him to be the Lord of my life, and as he began to speak to me about things in my life, that I'm growing in the knowledge of who God is. I'm growing in the awareness. I'm applying the conditions of the promises in my life. That as I do that, that I see more and more the wisdom of God. And then, you know, I remember thinking at times, is this it? Is this the last one? But you get up in the morning and you pray a prayer. You go to bed at night and you pray a prayer something like this. We've probably talked about this on this show before. One of the great prayers you pray at night is, God, how did I do today? How did I do today? I'm telling you, if you want to hear God's voice, if you ever want to hear God's voice, it may not be an audible voice in your room, but if you say, how did I do today? If you did bad that day, God will speak to your spirit. Remember that conversation? That wasn't good. Remember the way you reacted right there? That wasn't good. Now you've got to do something about that. Or he may point you to a conversation that was really good and say, see that? You did good there. You did good there. Keep it up. So listening to God, giving God the opportunity to speak to us about everything we're doing. In the morning, to get up, just like you said, and say, God, this day's yours. Use this day today. Wherever I go, I want to be aware of your presence. I want to walk with you today. I want you to walk with me today. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear you. God will begin to tug on your spirit. Go talk to that person. Mm-hmm. Be careful right here. Mm-hmm. You're getting mad. You're getting upset. Calm down. Yeah. The Spirit will begin to speak to you if you listen to Him. And that brings us into this place of security where we know we're walking in the middle of God's will.
That's some great practical advice, Mark, and I appreciate that. That, you know, for somebody who's just kind of curious about God and the Bible and trying to figure out where their life might align with His, that's a great way to establish that relationship, is just ask God for that input and then shut up and be quiet and see what He says, and let Him tell us how we did that day. And I like what you said about just walking in obedience to the Word every day. That requires knowing the Word, God's Word, being in the Bible and understanding that, and then walking in obedience to that every day. Through a relationship with God, we can find that security that we can have for the rest of our lives and into eternity. That's awesome. Well, I think this feels like a discussion we could continue on for a long time, but we are at the end of our time today. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen to the program anytime. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Dave Fitch, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room full of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.